You're listening to the Christian Humanist Radio Network, christianhumanist.org.
Satan, your kingdom must come down. Satan, your kingdom must come down. I heard the voice of Jesus say, Satan, your kingdom must come down.
Hey there, everybody. This is Danny Anderson, thanking you for listening to another episode of the Sectarian Review podcast. As always, I am recording from my little studio here at Mount Aloysius College in snowy Crescent, Pennsylvania. And today we get back to one of the main concerns of this podcast, it seems, is comics. We come back to comics a lot, but we're going to be taking a bit of a different angle on it this time. Joining me today is Brandon Hollingsworth and Yvonne Anaya, who are working on a really, really interesting comic series. Brandon and Yvonne, do you want to introduce yourselves and tell us about who you are? Start with Brandon, since he's on my left.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I don't know which way you're pointing, Danny, but we'll go. So my name is Brandon Hollingsworth, and I am the Chief Operations and Chief Creative Officer of Brainy Pixel Productions. We're a Christian animation and production studio out of North Alabama, where it is not sunny, but it's not snowy either. So,
and Yvonne.
Hi, my name is Ivan, and I am the art director of Mercy Way Studio. We are a Christian comic company in El Salvador, Central America. So there is no snow here, and it's all sunny every day.
I envy you that. I was just talking to a friend of mine who wants to get the bleep out of here, but I don't mind the snow. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. This actually seems kind of mild to me, actually, in terms of snow. I want to talk. This is a collaboration between two companies, the comic that we're going to be talking about today. And so there's a lot of really interesting things to discuss, and I really can't wait to get into it. I feel like I need to do a bit of disclaimer, but a little bit of context for my listeners who kind of know me well enough at this point, I think, to know that we're on the show quite frequently critical of specifically Christian art and things like. You guys don't have to agree with me on any of the things I'm going to criticize here, but movies like God's Not Dead and Chick Tracks and all these sorts of things, right? These are sorts of Christian art that we've frequently in the past been critical of and investigated in a critical way. And I just want to kind of own that kind of bias. And honestly, a lot of it comes from my own position as a kind of insider / outsider within the church. I've never sort of left the church, but I've always kind of felt like at the margins of the church. And so these kinds of Christian, specifically kind of didactic forms of Christian art have always kind of alienated me on some level. But I also have recognized that in the past, there's been very good examples. And, you know, I'm someone with kids, and I think VeggieTales was a really great and creative enterprise, right? And so there are very good examples. And I would throw what you folks are doing in that camp. I'm very impressed with the comic that you've made. And I just kind of want to get your thoughts on Christian art and how you sort of approach it. Maybe we'll start with Yvonne, since you're the writer and illustrator of this comic. And so at the beginning, I suggested I should call you Yvonne, and then you said Ivan. So you're just used to everybody calling you Ivan, whatever you want to call yourself. But go ahead.
No problem. Actually, one of the things that we have as a company, and I could kind of be honest, not every comic in the Christian industry is that good. Actually, it's just behind the big companies like Marvel. And there is an easy choice for a kid to choose a Spider-Man over a Christian comics. And I'm not saying there's no passion. I'm not saying that there is no interesting to do it a good job. But sometimes it's just, as a church, we just left the art for some reason and let them somebody else do it because we don't gonna do it. And I think there's something that the church has to take back. The greatest creative person in the entire universe is Jesus. So he made art, and we can glorify God with the art. So I think it's one of the ideas that we want to do is make Christian art great again, like something appealing, like something is for the glory of God, excellency in everything that we do. And also, it's not that preachy, because we tend to believe that the Christian has to be preachy, and we can teach a Christian value, the message of Jesus, without being entirely preachy. We cannot leave the preachy part away, but just not make it so obvious.
Yeah, that's one thing I was impressed about with the comic, the sample that you gave me. It is very much just a vision of the story on the page, right? It isn't, there's no sort of like commentary about it, right? And so it is just sort of representing the story as it was, and I really appreciated that. And to back up your point, I mean, in pre-modern times, I mean, art and religious activity were inseparable, right? I mean, you can't imagine the whole history of art without it being sort of aimed towards God. And so I think there is a way to recover something, a better form of it than something that's maybe overly consumer driven. Brandon.
Yeah, I could not agree more. And really, that's one of the great facets of this partnership between Brainy Pixel and Mercy Waves, is that we really are very much on the same page when it comes to challenging the status quo of Christian creation, of Christian creative projects, whether it be animation or whether it be comics. There's no reason why Christians cannot be just as stellar in terms of their production values, in terms of their story crafting, in terms of their art, their illustration. There's no reason we can't be at the same level as the big boys out there, say in comics. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, we at Brainy Pixel, we view it almost as a mandate. We have to bring our A game, so to speak, because we view everything that we create at Brainy Pixel as a worship offering to Christ, you know? And so when you look at your work as, hey, this is something I'm going to put on the altar, right, before God, this is an offering. That totally changes your perspective about the type of quality. You know, it goes right back to Cain and Abel, right? Where Abel didn't bring his A game, right? And he didn't bring his first fruits. And so that was a big problem. So at Brainy Pixel, we definitely are on the same page with Mercy Waves and could not be more happy to be partnered with them on this particular project.
Yeah, that's great. And it really does come across as real quality. Like, as my daughter is into art and she sort of fairly recently picked up digital art. And so I've kind of like followed her progress, and I can really see the level at which you all are working in the production of this, in addition to the storytelling, which I also thought was good, but we'll get into that in a second. Before we kind of get into the meat and potatoes, I suppose, of the artistic process, I'd like to kind of lay a foundation of your theological backgrounds. So what kind of church Christian traditions do you each come out of? And how do you think that informs what you're doing as artists?
Yeah, I'll go first, and let me correct myself. I said Abel previously, I meant Cain. So since we're talking about biblical foundations, I want to be sure and get those foundations correct. So for me, I was not really raised in the church. My parents were C&E Christians, Christmas and Easter only. But I had a godly grandmother who took me and my siblings to church as often as she could. I grew up going to a Church of God and a Pentecostal church. But later on, after I became married, I began attending a Baptist church, and now I'm much more in the Baptist form kind of mindset in terms of the church that I attend. I am currently a deacon in the church that we attend just up the road in near Huntsville, Alabama. And we're all about loving some Bible and acting it out. We actually left the last church that we were with for 10 years because they were diverging so far from biblical principles, and we looked for 3 months before we finally found a church that met our standards, really met God's standards for what a true body is supposed to be, and we could not be happier where we are now. So very, very Bible believing, God's word is inerrant, and we believe every word of it.
All right, good enough. I want to talk a little bit about the audience, I guess, for this later on, but I know that the Baptists do that Awana thing, right? And I kind of feel like this is sort of like, that may be a market for something like this. I'm not sure.
But that's a great idea. Yeah, absolutely.
So, Yvonne.
Well, actually, here in Central America, the God Assembly is really strong. So I came from a church of that line. And actually, I studied theology for 5 years to actually know what to draw, because when I came to Jesus, I want to draw for him, but I have no idea how to draw and how to put it correctly, because I don't want to draw something that is not the right kind of stuff to tell. So I'm come from that line. I just was with young and juvenile in my church, so I'm not there anymore, but I'm still in my church, but not with young people. So the church is called, it's Joshua, the name. So, but it's God Assembly.
Okay. Okay. Very good. And,
let me add a little footnote. I am blown away by the heart that the Mercy Ways crew has for scripture. They have done so much research and deep scripture searching on this project. Several books in the Bible that touch David, right? First, Second Samuel, Chronicles, Acts, and they've dove into all those in the deep end of the pool. They've researched the Talmud. They've researched Josephus. So they are absolutely trying to make sure that the biblical representation that is presented in this comic series is rock solid. We're filling in the gaps, and we're telling some stories that are maybe mentioned in scripture or referred to, but they're absolutely using those sources and bringing them all together and weighing them through the Holy Spirit for the correct, not the correct, but a really accurate representation of these stories. And I'm super impressed.
Yeah, and I just want to say, as a reader, I mean, it comes across as engaging too, right? The gaps. I mean, the framing device of this first comic is David is sort of narrating the story of Goliath, and he's interrupted by baby Solomon, right? And so that's obviously not directly from the scripture, right? But there's some sort of like creative engagement with those gaps, and I think that's where the story emerges from, Yvonne.
Actually, one of the things that we want to do is we find what we call like a golden reference to David in the Talmud. Is he teaches to children, and he actually, when he did it, he was not a ceremonial king, that he was, I am my throne, just stay back there because I'm going to teach you a story. No, he sits on the floor with them, and he teaches them. Yeah. And actually, David was so jealous, and he wants to make the scripture so good. We find out that he doesn't kill his soul because he's referring exactly one of the mandatory in Deuteronomy. He every time he say, "I'm not gonna kill the one who being anointed by the Lord." Mm-hmm. So he respect that. So we think that he did just for one. He actually can do it for Deuteronomy 6:7, because teach your kids this stuff, making him remember what the God has said. So we think this is an approach that can be scriptural. It's not in the scripture, but we imagine that David can do that. And actually, it's something that Jesus did. So we were talking that David pointing to Jesus. So Jesus has some stuff that can point back to David. Mm-hmm. So that's the way we take it.
Yeah, and that's really one of the keys to this comic series that we haven't even said vocally yet, and I think it's really important to punch this point, in that a really good way to think about this comic, Danny, is it's like when you have a sermon, there's always that moment of application, right? Where how do we apply what the scripture says to our life? That's really what we're doing in this comic. We're taking the scripture and we're applying it to the comic to tell a story. And so that's a really neat thing that I've never seen anybody do before. And it's really, really exciting to be a part of it, I have to tell you.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a meta quality to it. It's sort of about the act of storytelling. It's a story mm-hmm. about storytelling and the importance of storytelling. And that comes across just in the first 20, whatever, four pages that this issue 00 covers David S. Shepherd or introduces David S. Shepherd, at least. Before we get into this, as you were talking, Yvonne, I was thinking about David as a figure. I know that this is the beginning of an intended long-term series of various Bible characters, and you choose to sort of start with David, and you're going to sort of tell various aspects of his life. And I have to say, like, I'm again from Cleveland, and where I went to grad school is right across the street from the Cleveland Museum of Art. And I used to walk in there all the time during breaks and just meditate or whatever. And there's a really great painting of David as he's mourning the death of Absalom. He's sort of looking out on his kingdom and his crown's turned over on the floor. It's always been very moving to me. It's like my favorite painting in the museum. And so there's something about David that is universal, I would say. And so what is it? I mean, I suppose there's a reason you chose to start with him. Why? I mean, what was your thought process there?
Well, we love David. He's my favorite character. And Samson, David, and Gideon are my favorite characters. So actually, this is after a long time of praying to know why we're going to tell. And everyone agreed that David has to be our first choice, because I think everyone knows the story of David. If you find out there's a small person who's going to fight a big something, is the story of David versus Goliath. Is it the worldwide reference? So everyone knows that story. So I think it's really good, appealing. And one of the things that we want to share this, it calls Chronicles of Faith for a reason, because we want to inspire people to have faith. That is like our theme. And one of the person they actually trust God in every moment, even in her falling, was David. So I think this is a good start. We don't want to show the bad part of David. We don't want to ignore the sins of David, because we think this is one of the most powerful, I don't know, tools that we can teach the character of God. So we don't want to not show that. And David, it was just the most development Bible character. So it's really awesome.
Yeah, we definitely don't want to infer through the comic, through the first four issues, that David is a moral example that we should follow, because obviously he's not. If you've ever read, you know, scripture and you know what David does towards the end of his life, he's not a moral example that we need to follow. But what he is a faith example. And that when David fails, when he falls, when he sins, his heart is broken and he seeks God's face and he begs for forgiveness. And it's because of that that God calls David a man after his own heart. And so it's that element of David that we want people to see and emulate and to inspire kids to be like David. And I think that's a really powerful example to kind of come out of the gate with, and I think it was exactly the right choice. Obviously, the Mercy Ways team made that choice a long time before Brainy Pixel got involved, but I think it's spot on.
Yeah, and so personally speaking, I'm an English professor, right? And so the Psalms are, you know, great books of poetry, and many of them by David's hand. And I mm-hmm. loved how you incorporated some of that into this David and Goliath story. There's a moment where he's sort of gathering his strength, right, as facing the threat of Goliath. And you can sort of see in the background, in really beautiful script lettering, this poetry, basically, where he sort of that is in the form of a prayer, right? And so it's a really great way to integrate even that artistic side of David there.
Actually, yes. there was a discussion that we really want to share, like everything in that. We, in the process, we read the book of Samuel, but we were reading the Psalms in the middle, and we separate what Psalm was right for David, 72, and we read every one of them. And you understand the heart of the man. He just, he's some days just, Lord, listen to me. Don't forget about me. And in the other one is, the Lord is my shepherd. And that is something that we want to incorporate, because we cannot leave the outside behind. It's just the, I think if you want to know the heart of David, read the Psalms, because you can understand how he was. He's just struggling in a lot of stuff, and every stuff that he was struggling, God was there with him. And he knows that.
And that is such a powerful scene in the comic. I know I'm talking about stuff that people haven't seen yet, but when you get a chance, it really does that panel just makes you kind of stop and take a breath. You know, it's stunning. And there's more like that coming. And those are moments of brilliance in my opinion, in terms of crafting this comic. The team has done just a stunning job. And Sophie, with her lettering, somehow is able to evoke, almost in my opinion, like a depiction of the Holy Spirit, you know, with that lettering. It's just so evocative. So beautiful.
Well, this is something that is not done yet, but we had planned. There is one page in issue 02 that is the star, and it is a night before, and David is thinking about what God has done. And it's one of the most beautiful stuff that we plan to do, because it's a triple page, because you fold it and you can open it. And this is David small and the big star. And in that star is just the Psalm. I'm just giving away something. I'm not going to say why, and I'm not going to say, but this time is just the, we call it the sell up pages. It's just the moment when you can stop, think. And for some reason, that lettering is just stuck in your head. It's just, and we, Sophie's great with that.
Yeah.
Sophie's one of the girls of the team, by the way. I'm just saying that.
Yes, let me, Sophia Flores, right?
Yeah, okay. Sophia Flores.
Yeah, I was just reading the credits off of the first page there. So, yes. Yeah, so let's get into the kind of artistic, the mechanics, the weeds, if you will, of the comic. So, where did the idea for a collaboration? So, Brandon, your company, Brainy Pixel, is more animation driven, I think. And Yvonne, you're an artist, right? And so how did you come together to combine what you're doing for this team up?
So it was basically through social media and some of the early stuff that Yvonne and the team at Mercy Waves were sharing. I've been an art director for years. I got my start actually in the role-playing game industry many, many years ago before I was saved. But I just saw the stunning samples that they weren't even finished panels. They were just sketches and things like that. And I was just blown away by the art. And because as an animation studio, we're always looking for great artists, I reached out to Yvonne and we began a conversation. Quickly, it blossomed into a friendship. We began kind of collaborating on some projects. And finally, I just told my business partner, our CEO, I said, we really need to get involved with these guys. I mean, I really feel God leading me to be a part of this project. I think our studio should be a part of this project. As an animation studio, we're working on comics currently. But these guys would be a great studio to partner with to kind of further both of our goals. We're aligned in terms of, you know, our spiritual beliefs, in terms of what we want to do with our work. And so we pitched an idea to the Mercy Waves team, and they were gracious enough to bless us with allowing us to be part of this amazing project.
Yeah, what he said. No, actually, this is funny, because for some reason, we were working with the same company, Brandon and I, and we have no idea of each other's existence. I was doing comic with Pathfinder and Dynamite Comics, and he was working with them too. So our path is just being crossed, but we have no idea. And then God, you just bring us together. I think that is a funny story, because we have no idea. It's even talking, and yeah, you work for them. Yeah, you too. I, me too. What? Yeah, it's just, it was fun. And I think now that we have like the same goal, and Jesus can use us working together, I think this is the best time to meet each other.
Yeah, and absolutely. The internet is a great, I suppose, tool for making connections. I mean, that's the in its ideal form, the internet can connect people who kind of need each other, who are separated by geography, right? I mean, internet has problems, of course. There are things the internet doesn't do well, and there are problems that are the result of the internet. But yeah, this podcast is one, right? And so I think I became in contact with you through Theophany Media, somehow on Twitter, and so there's a way in which these networks are kind of beautiful to watch, kind of like grow and make connections that weren't there before. And so this project emerges out of that kind of activity. And can you tell me a little bit about Mercy Ways? Is that it's Mercy Ways in Ministries, right? Is that an endeavor from a church or like what is the nature of that?
Actually, it's Mercy Ways Studios.
Oh, okay.
It's the studios When I came to Christ, I just want to make comic for Christ. I feel really compelling. I quit my comic job, not because I think it was bad, because I think I was pointing to that. And I worked for animation and video game for 3 years until that happened. And for 3 years, I was praying and working. And someday, it's just one idea of a comic called Fear Not, that if you want to check it, you can go to our website. And the idea of that comic was how to teach kids to fight fear and have faith in Jesus. It was a 12 issues run. It was, we do it with the collaboration of Bible Society of El Salvador. And in that comic, in issue 1, was the first time the Mercy Ways logo appeared. In the process, it had so many names. First was Mystery Way, because we want to share, like, God is can approach to you in mystery ways, but we cannot find a scripture backup for that. And one of the things that we want to share is just, I don't know, this is a way to show God mercy. So, Mercy Ways. So it was like natural. And that it really comes. We, as a company, we have like 2 years, but working in concept, it's been 5 years now.
Okay. I mean, the name appeals to me. I work for a Sisters of Mercy school. And so this is why it probably stood out to me. And yes, your website is mercyways.com. I did look through. It's a lot of, again, typically amazing art and a lot of projects you can sort of sift through, and engage in there. And brainypixel.com is a separate entity, but this is sort of a collaboration between the two then, right?
That is correct. Yes, two separate companies, but we're combining forces for Jesus.
So okay.
Wonder Twin powers activate. So.
Well, let me just
ask. I want to be the girl.
I want to be the guy who always turns into water.
Astrid.
Oh, yeah.
I love the guy who just becomes some form of water every time. Like, yeah, that's really valuable in a battle when you can't drink him, right?
If there's not a bucket around, he's in trouble.
Yeah. I could be the monkey.
Oh, my childhood is coming back to me here. This is amazing. That's every Saturday morning, right? And so,
you know it.
So let me ask you then a little bit about, I guess, your goals for this, the intended audience, the market, however you want to kind of conceive of it. How do you distribute this? Who is it that you think is the primary target? Is this something we'll see in comic shops? I'm still somebody who goes to my local comic shop and they hold some comics for me every month and I still buy physical comics, right? Is that the end for this, or what are your plans here?
Yeah, we pray that will be the way that we can go. Initially, there'll be digital releases. We're already looking into some print-on-demand runs based on the demand for the comic, obviously. We would love to get into distribution via the big boys like Diamond and things like that, and get into comic shops everywhere. We're just taking it step by step and praying, you know, for God to lead us in that direction. We have to be really good stewards with the limited resources God has currently provided to us. We pray that Chronicles of Faith blows up and, you know, lots and lots and lots of people go buy it, and then we can afford a print run. But off the bat, we're trying to be cautious, and we're going to be selling the comic, the English translation, on brainypixel.com in our store there. And then the Spanish version will be at mercyways.com in their store. And then we're looking into further branching out into other digital platforms like Comixology or Global Comics or things like that. And if anyone listening knows of some, please let us know. We'd love to understand where the market is getting their digital comics, and we'd love to bring it to there if we can.
And it will be simultaneously released the February 24th in two languages, English and Spanish. And if you want to English, go to Brainy Pixels. If you want the Spanish version, you can go to mercyways.com. We think that if this is a collaboration of two companies, it has to be two languages, and we want to do it in that way. And Brainy Pixels will be so kind to help us in the English translation. So why we don't? It's just we want to share and spread this word in every language that we can.
And we are currently looking into some other translations as well. I know Portuguese is on the table, and I was just contacted by a gentleman who is interested in possibly helping us translate into Romanian. So we're open to other language translations as well. Again, you know, depending on what we can do with the finances that God has put before us. So
we think it's this is a story for everyone, but our principal target is kids from 7 to 17. And the second most important target is fathers. Mm-hmm. We love to see father reading this story for your kids. The idea of David with Solomon is just a reflection of what we want to do. Is this could be a great bedtime stories, could be something that can help you. Even they have some questions at the end of the comic that you can work with your kids. It's just not preachy, but maybe can be teachy. So this is our second target, and this is a series. It's not going to be, for now, it's going to be only David, Chronicles of a David. We think maybe can be a run of 14 chapters, and we want to explore the entire life of David, just from hero, from king, and from man. So,
but necessarily have to end there, Danny, is that, you know, with a title like Chronicles of Faith, we could branch out into other heroes of the faith in the Bible, and then even extra-biblical heroes of the faith, like Bonhoeffer or Lottie Moon. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you could literally tell these great stories of these champions of the faith, of the Christian faith, through the comic medium, and I think that they would be so intriguing and so gripping. So, again, it's our prayer that God's going to use us how he intends. We always want to pray for God's will. We have a mantra or a refrain at Brainy Pixel, saying, don't get ahead of God. So we want to take this slow step by step and see what he wants us to do. And we want to bathe this in prayer. But we've got lots of big ideas. But we've learned the hard way that God's ideas are always better than our big ideas. So.
And also, just for finish, sorry. Yeah.
No.
The idea of the making this Chronicles of Faith is inspired to everyone. Write their own Chronicles of Faith. It's just, you can have your own Chronicles. Chronicles is just the retell of people who trust God. You can be one of them.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely kind of a Princess Bride sort of feel to the structure of the story with the grandpa reading the story to the kid, mm-hmm. at night and to inspire the kid, right? And that's kind of I can see that intention a little bit in the structure of the story.
Oh, if you make me start with reference that is in the comic, I'm just gonna tell you there's Shrek, Zelda, Marty McFly. There's all the options that we want and explore to tell this story. The Mandalorian is one. All the Lord of the Rings, the Chronicles of Narnia. We search a lot of stuff because we know there's richness in that story, the building of the characters, the type of character we want to make. So this is a long story. Brandon knows a lot of it.
That was a really, really good, a really smart thing that these guys did. This was before we got involved, so I cannot take any credit for it as much as I want to, Danny. But but after they had done all this tremendous research on the scripture and on these extra biblical sources that point to scripture, they had this great brainstorming activity where they said, hey, just what are some characters that when you think of David, you know, bring some characters to the table that help inspire you. What are some characteristics that we can use as an example? And they, you know, like they talked about Marty McFly and Link from Zelda, Aragorn from and Sam from The Lord of the Rings, you know, all. And what they did is they kind of took all these characters and kind of distilled them down into their impression of what David would be. And it really gives him a lot of depth and a lot of texture as you're reading the comic. And I think folks will get that as they're reading it.
Yeah, that's great. And let me just ask you about, I guess, what comics specifically offer in terms of storytelling. I, like I said, I'm a fan of comics. Since I was a kid, we just moved and I've been carrying all my comic boxes and so it's kind of a drag actually, but I remain a comic fan to this day. I oversee a gen ed first year experience class here. And this last year we had, the creators of, this Indian comic, Priya's Shakti, come and be our convocation speaker. And we went over that comic book, and there's something very kind of like, the comics offer something that other media don't, or they do things that other media doesn't do so well. I have a kind of friendly relationship with Plow Publishing, and they're sending me things. I don't know if you can see this on screen here. They did a little comic graphic novel version of this, of the White Rose graphic novel of these Nazi resistors, these Christian Nazi resistors, and their story. And there's something that medium like sort of offers. And so I guess, I know that's both of you professionally work in that. So that's probably why you chose it. But I also think there's gotta be some kind of philosophical, aesthetic belief you have about comics. What are your thoughts on that?
Go ahead, Ivan.
I love comics. I love the narrative that can be. The idea of being telling the story on each page and understand what page is the best to put there, the idea of make the panels and everything. I just love that language. And I think it's something so different from a movie, it's something different from an animation, because you have to make this living without even moving, not even having a sound, not even having something that is just on paper. But it's just make you use your imagination in a way that it can be a connection, and everyone who loves comic can understand that. Before Christian Bale made the voice of Batman, everyone has a voice of Batman in your head. Everyone sees, just remember some idea of how Batman sounds and how the Joker laughed before Jack Nicholson. So I think that connection and that language is a language that can be so personal and so, I don't know, intuitive to our brains, that is something different. And I hope it never dies, because some people say it's going to die, and I'm going to die trying not to.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I feel like it's a really challenging time. I mean, comics, the COVID was, you know, a challenge for everybody. That's an industry that particularly was hit hard in terms of they just stopped shipping comics. And then there were many comics that I was collecting that just never made it, right? They just canceled. And so it's like I feel like there's something valuable there that is in perilous. And because of conventions not being able to be held, like so much of the kind of work that you do is sold like face to face at conventions, you know what I'm saying? And that's just not available to us right now. So I have the same fear. Brandon?
Yeah, I think Ivan's spot on. I think it's an intensely personal medium. It's more personal than watching a show. Watching a movie or an animation is very passive. Reading a novel is possibly more personal and more just intuitive than watching a movie. So you kind of have this comics medium, which is right in the middle in terms of that personality, in terms of that engagement. Like Ivan said, you're using your imagination. You know, it's almost like when I was a kid, I always used to play with my Star Wars and my G.I. Joe and my Transformers, and I would make up my own stories. I would kind of not do what the shows told me to do. I would make up my own tales. And that's kind of like what comics is. You know, it's this perfect, concise distillation of the storytelling medium that also engages and involves its reader in a very intimate way. And unlike anything else, and I think that's one of the reasons why it's been so popular for so long. And I do think, honestly, that it will continue on as long as there are people who are interested in good stories and beautiful art, I think comics will have a place. And so Amen. I think that's kind of where it lands.
Yeah, let's hope anyway. Yeah, and on if no other reason, I mean, all movies are basically comic book adaptations now. How else are they going to get their source material?
Well, and as an animation studio, that is a great thing. You know, the first thing you do in an animation is a storyboard animatic, which is basically a really quick comic. So it lends itself well to my other side of my business. So.
True enough. And just to circle back here at the close, and I think David is a really interesting figure to begin with then, because his, you know, the life that's depicted in the Bible is so like interesting and relatable, I suppose. And so if comics lend themselves to relating to and engaging with the characters on the page, David is a great figure to do that with. And if I can make a suggestion, I'll send you the picture from that Cleveland Museum of Art, within Morning Absalom. Just try to adapt it sometime into a future comic book. It's a great painting.
If God allows us, we will tell that story. We love that story.
Yeah.
And if you find the parallelism between Absalom and Lucifer, it's mind blowing.
Yeah.
It's just, he was the most beautiful of all the kids of David. He was the preferred, the one who got to sit in the throne. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So it's amazing. It's amazing.
And not to get too theologically deep or even perhaps sacrilegious, but then it opens up the question as to whether God mourns Lucifer's fall in the way that David mourns Absalom's, right?
And so, I think that's great theological fertile ground for discussion, and I'm already thinking of a comic based on it. So yeah, that's great stuff, Dan.
And I guess that's what I again, just to congratulate you on the achievement here. I've often been critical of Christian art, and it's only fair to me to find Christian art that is actually good. And I think one of the things that makes this really successful aesthetically and artistically is that it's chosen a subject matter that doesn't kind of gloss things. Like, there's a tendency to put a shine on Christian art, right? And kind of ignore the dark things in the story. And as a fan of horror, I'm particularly find a lot of value in exploring those dark corners of things. And David offers that. And I think he's a really compelling figure. This comic is really terrific. Tell us, so it's going to be launching, I suppose, is that the word, soon? Why don't you tell us folks how they can come buy it? One last.
Yeah, just one quick counterpoint to your statement there. When you read scripture, you can't avoid the dark areas, right? Yeah. And the dark areas are the reason why we have Jesus, mm-hmm. right? The reason why we have a Savior is to save us from hell. Yeah. And so you can't, as a Christian, you know, you can candy coat it all you want, but at the end of the day, you're going to have to come to grips with that stuff. And so we, as a studio, we like facing it head on, and we like expressing stories in that mode, because we feel that brings an authentic feeling to our products. And so we hope that translates to our listeners. So to answer your question, go ahead, Yvonne, tell them when they can get Faith David.
Well, it's going to be launched in February 24th. It's just really close now. And you can have it in brainypixel.com if you want an English version, and mercyways.com if you want a Spanish version. And we hope to have a print version for each, Spanish and English, anytime soon. But for now, it's going to be like that. And you can find us in every social media. In fact, we're giving away a lot of stuff. We're giving away wallpapers with David Art. We're giving away some interviews, videos about the process, and some development diary about it. So follow us on Instagram as mercyways.studios and Brainy Pixels Productions. And in Twitter, it's Brainy Pixels. Help me here, Brennan.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Brainy Pixel on all of the social media platforms except for Instagram, where we're Brainy Pixel Productions.
Yeah, that's it. I know there was a difference, but I don't know which social media it was. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube too. So,
And we're also running, the Mercy Waste team has a whole batch of amazing variant covers that we're releasing. We're releasing one of those or maybe two of those a week on our social medias. And we're also, we have a contest. If there are any artists out there that would like to do their own take of David, their own possible variant cover, we're running a contest. One of you will be selected as a variant cover and you'll win some really cool prizes as well. So check out our social medias for all the details on that. We're posting it a couple times a week, so it should be easy to find. And we'd love to have you guys participate and help us spread the word.
Yeah, we want to make a gallery called the David Valiants. So if you want to be one of the David Valiants, you can you can send us your art, and we can be. And if you win, one of your art is going to be like the variant covered. And you can have a free copy of the comic.
Very cool. That's very cool. I think I'm going to rearrange the release schedule for this so that it comes out before the 24th. So I think you should be looking at the 18th for this show. Otherwise, it would be after the release date. So so you can be looking at, you'll be, if you're listening to this, the comic should be launching about a week or so after you hear this. So go bookmark the websites and find that kind of thing then. And real quick, before I let you go, I can't not ask Brandon this question. Russian ape men from space. I was doing some clicking right before the recording, and this seems like a perfect topic for the show. I have to have at least you touch on it a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm more than happy to come on. That's a whole nother side of my life. My life as a writer and novelist and short story author. So Russian Ape Man from Space was complete pulp candy that I wanted to write. I just wanted to write a crazy story. Did it on New Year's Eve one night. I was all alone, just me, my laptop in the fireplace. And I wrote this story, which is actually a really gripping story about home, about family, and about what it takes for a man, ape man, to stand up for his family. So it's actually a great little pulp roller coaster story. And so I definitely suggest you check that out. It's over on Amazon. And I can come back on and we could talk about that for days, Danny.
Maybe we'll have to do that because I'm also a connoisseur. I'm not a believer in conspiracy theories, but I find them interesting. Okay. And one of the great ones is Stalin's ape soldier hybrid program. And this seems to be the genesis of
it's built on the truth of those experiments. Yes. Yeah. Ivanov. And of course I had to throw some Hollow Earth and some Cthulhu mythos in there as well. Exactly. So it's a roller coaster, man. It's a lot of fun. So.
Yeah. I'll definitely have to have you all on that. And both of you are invited to come back anytime to talk about your work. It's really interesting stuff. Like I said, it's really good. As much as I trash Christian art on this show, I'll feel like a moral obligation to at least seek out quality Christian art. Recently, we had Peter Law, a really great Christian artist. He writes horror, and so I'm going to do my God's honest best to try and find good quality artists such as you all here.
Awesome. Well, we'd love to come back on sometime, and we'll be sure and send you a copy of the whole comic as soon as it's done, and you can review it whenever you like. And just thank you for having the opportunity to come on. We've had a blast today.
No, it's been a great conversation. Yvonne and Brandon, thank you so much for joining us for another episode of the Sectarian View podcast. I will be sending you that picture of David and Absalom. And for those of you listening,
oh, please do.
My name is Danny Anderson, thanking you for listening to another episode of the Sectarian Review podcast.